It sure is great seeing everybody here at this time, and I hope the Sabbath is going well for you. I see some faces that I haven't seen for a long time, and I see some, and I really appreciate that you came. Some of you even. So it is so good to see everybody. We heard a lot in the first split sermon, and I think we're going to tie this in together. As we approach the Passover and the days of unleavened bread, let us consider the times of trial and suffering that we all have. And I know many of you have had serious issues, health problems, perhaps job problems, work, other things. All kinds of things go on in this day and age. And I really grieve at times when I hear how many people are suffering various difficulties. I'm going to write my time here so I won't keep you more than 2 hours. How many of you have heard the story of the caterpillar and its lesson in nature? This is the way I read it. I didn't verify it, but it sounds too true to be a mistake. As the caterpillar struggles to get out of its cocoon, it releases a hormone that makes it grow stronger and allows its wings to form and to eventually fly as a butterfly. If it did not struggle to get out, it would never develop its wings and die. A man ran an experiment and helped the caterpillar out of the cocoon. Life was easy, but the caterpillar never grew its wings and soon died. The caterpillar struggled in life. Don't we all struggle in life? It surely seems to be a lesson for us to remember about the struggles that we all have. We all have something in common with each other. We all have struggles in life, whether it's health, interpersonal relationships, job situations, and so much more. I would like you to consider a book that I read, and this comes from, it's called In Harm's Way, about the sinking of the cruiser, the Indianapolis, in the final moments or final months of World War II. Let me read this quote. There are lots of good sailors in calm seas, but there are only great sailors in rough seas. The Indianapolis, with, as I read in the book, with 1,600 men, by chance was caught by a Japanese, perhaps as many as six, but two hit in very vulnerable spots on that cruiser towards the front of it, and it ripped huge gaping holes at the front of that cruiser. Within 15 minutes, the ship sunk with heavy loss of life. Soon, perhaps, an estimated 500 surviving men were attacked by sharks over a 4 to 5 day period. And for the most part, nobody knew that ship sunk until after that 4 or 5 day period. Survived. On page 161 and 163 of the book, it was declared sharks attacked the weakest of the survivors following the brutal destruction of the Indianapolis. Is this not something like a Christian in his or her calling? When times get tough, the weak drift and fall away. When times are rough, the weak in self, but strong in looking to God, they can stand fast and they can survive by seeking that God, by doing the things that God expects. The title of my message is, Why Trials and Why Sufferings? The synopsis is, life is too often not smooth sailing. Why must we have trials and suffering? What lessons can we learn from this? We all want a smooth sailing. This is part 1A. As we approach and prepare for the Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread, do we not ponder that we would love to have smooth sailing in this life? And yet, if you've been around the block a few times, you know it's not always that way. For as Christians, we have the opportunity and freedom to attend Sabbath services and the feast. It is important that we not forget our calling in good times and times of struggle. I was asked to insert something about the ability and the opportunity to attend the Feast of Tabernacles and the use of second tithes. So this is a little inset, but I think it fits and it applies. First, it is important not to sever the lifeline of fellowship on the weekly Sabbath, nor on the annual holy days. So we are, in other words, to stay the course and stay connected with those God is calling. Sometimes we may have a cruise. We can't go across the world, faraway lands, and we just don't have the finances. Other times, we have weakness, and we sink into depths of despondency because we can't do certain things. But we remembered, put that aside. Think to the future. Think to the hope that is really in each of you. We must not forsake this assembly of ourselves together. We can trim back on all kinds of things, the short-term joys or thrills. I remember one time, you know, we tend to want things, and mankind, think about this, mankind is forever wanting what is not. And we rejoice in instant or instantaneous gratification. But in this process, never forget your great calling. It will oftentimes take a great sacrifice to put aside money, especially if we have limited income. In the past, some of you may have asked, well, I really need that new camera. Well, I remember years ago I wanted to get a certain camera. And I delayed, and it would have, back in the 60s, it would have cost me about $400. Wow, that was amazing. And I decided, no, I could put it off. You know, I still haven't found a need for that camera. And technology, your little cell phones that you have, are way surpass that old thing. Now, do you have a craft or a talent that you could do, something that you could work on? Some of us do, some of us don't. But we can do things that will enable us to attend a feast and attend fellowship with people of like mind. Attending with people of like mind is like an anchor that holds you on, whereas all the weak will drift aside, waiting for the sharks to get them. I'm going to read this. It's a second tithe reference out of Deuteronomy 14. Deuteronomy 14, and I read these out of my notes. I have not technically learned how to do it off my cell phone at this time. But Deuteronomy 14, 22 to 26, you shall tithe all the yield of your seed that comes from the first year by year. In verse 23, to make his name dwell there. You shall eat the tithe of your grain, of your wine, and of your oil, the firstborn of your herd and flock, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. And if the way is too long, then make it into money, even in those days. So you could go to these other places which may be a little further away. We have the fortune in this day and age of being able to do telecasts and get together with smaller groups of people, but we would still be keeping the feast. And we should try to do that. And I'm going to skip down to verse 26. And spend the money for whatever you desire, oxen or sheep or wine or strong drink, whatever your appetite craves. And you shall eat there before the Lord your God and rejoice you and your household. We need to see that importance of fellowship on the Sabbath, the holy days, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Fellowship is like a lifeline in the stormy seas of life. Those young men on the Indianapolis struggle 4 to 5 days, losing many compatriots. How many people do we know that have drifted off? But they're still there. And I've seen people, I've seen new people come. Prince Edward Island. New people. People that had not been around for 10, 20 years or more. And they came. They came to the safe haven. So remember, fellowship is like a lifeline in the stormy seas of life. There's part two of this first section. We don't always get smooth sailing. Remember that ship? It was not smooth sailing for the Indianapolis. There was a couple I knew many years ago. Wonderful, wonderful couple. We went to Dunoon, Scotland in 1985, and I remember us standing around, and I perhaps still have those pictures somewhere in my archives. We were in Dunoon, Scotland, and we were taking pictures of red Highland cattle. And this was the first time I had ever come across what I would have called a red heifer, which a lot of people like to talk about. I don't understand all of what they say, but it was red Highland cattle. We had a wonderful time. It was a young man's wife died. He grieved deeply, and eventually, in his grief, he drifted from the church. God knows who he is. God has not forgotten him in his grief, and perhaps we shall see him again someday. Because God does not forget any one of us. He is there for us in good times and times of struggle. We must continue to seek after them. Also, a number of years ago, I met a person whose spouse died and was later told how that person was angry with God. Have you ever been angry with God? I'm not going to admit it. But there's times I did not understand what in the world is going on with my life. Why am I struggling so much? More recently, this very person came up to me and said, I understand. And I love God. And this person is studying the scriptures on a daily basis. She even recently lost another relative. Yet, the pain has not diminished her love for God. It matters not whether she is with us at this time. God knows that heart. And I've met people in and out of the church. They live exemplary lives according to what they understand. In the scripture, it speaks of the Apostle Paul. What an example the Apostle Paul is, who did not always have smooth sailing in his life. For often he suffered various afflictions, even beyond most of our trail of tears and trials. Paul, the Apostle Paul, said he was made strong by these problems. You could turn to 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 30. Are they servants of God or servants of Christ? I am a better one. I am talking like a madman with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. How about us? Little inset here. How about us? All things considered, we still hear of people getting seriously ill and dying relatively prematurely. Many people in this day and age suffer the diseases of old people. Something's happening in our lives. And then let's continue. Verse 2 Corinthians 11, 24. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes, less one. Verse 25. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Night and day I was adrift at sea. I wonder how many people on that Indianapolis who survived 3 to 4 days wondered about this scripture, if they were even familiar with it. On verse 26, on frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. I'm going to skip down to verse 29. Verse 29. Who is weak? I am not weak. Who is made to fall? And I am not indignant? Verse 30. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. Because the Apostle Paul knew that in his weakness, he was made stronger in God. He was made stronger in the faith by the things he suffered, even as many of us do this day and age. We could go off later and talk about some of the struggles you've had with jobs and health and so much more. But we're being strong. I've seen faithful people, loyal people that are sticking with it, staying the course. Let's ponder these words from Isaiah 30, verse 10. Isaiah 30, verse 10. Who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us smooth things and prophesy illusions. Everybody wants to say, you're doing a great job. And then they're holding their fingers behind their back and saying, I really don't believe that. How many people struggle? Let us ask ourselves, do we ever do this? Anything like this? I know there's been times that I've been running pretty high along the road. I've had great jobs in all the years of my life. Never once did I have to collect unemployment insurance. I think this day and age, it's really tough. It's tougher now than it was then, nationally and internationally. Let's read from Romans 16:18. Romans 16:18. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. Everything's okay, folks. Yeah. Sure. Well, let's watch something else on TV. Book? Bible? What is that? Oh, we don't have to take time for that, do we? Of course you do. You must take time for that. Consider this from Romans 8:35. This is important. Romans 8:35, then we'll go to 36 to 37. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness, or danger, or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. In verse 37, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. God knows what each of us are going through, and the sufferings and the difficulties, the struggles and the pain and the agony. He knows what you're going through. He knows what your neighbor's going through. Recognize that when we hurt, there are other people hurting also. We all have that same calling. Let me continue. I reread. For your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Verse 37. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And then we continue in verse 38 to 39. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, in verse 39, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Stay this stuff. I'm not sure of how many of us have had to go through anything near that bad. This next section is called Struggles of Life. In life struggles, we who are strong ought to be encouragers to those struggling with life's difficulties and travails. Let each of us, yes, that is all of us, no matter the gender, or the age, from 5 to 105. And I think we pretty well cover the base there. Satan will tempt you. And what happens to you will be a test of your mettle. That's not mettle like in a piece of iron. That is in our coping mechanisms. None of us, not one, can escape the vagaries of life. We read this in Ecclesiastes 3:2. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. There's a time and season for everything. What helps our character development? Imagine if it was smooth sailing for that cruiser. Imagine what would have happened. Point A to point B, nothing serious in life. In 2 Corinthians 12:7, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. That's pretty strong words. Suffering and pain minimize our ability to boast about how great I am. The Apostle Paul at times did lack humility. But he wasn't different from any of us. Even we lack humility. From day to times you're riding high for a long time. 2, 3, 4, 5 months, maybe more. But tragedy comes to everybody. Struggle comes to everybody. Let's go back to the book of Romans and read several passages. Romans 2:1. Therefore, you who have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges, for in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourselves. because you, the judge, practice the very same things. Have you ever seen that where people would point a finger? And when I did substitute teaching, the kids would blame somebody else and they're pointing fingers. And I tell them, well, you have three fingers pointing back at you. They pointed all four forward. But let's face it, what they were accusing their neighbor of, they too at times do. We were promised with a great hope of eternal life with the Creator. We are truly given a great promise. In Romans 9:20, it says, "But who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Will what is molded say to its molder, 'Why have you made me like this?'" I sure wish I didn't have some of the struggles I have. I've been in the church for over 40 years, but if I didn't have any struggles, I would be the same person I was 40 years ago, and it was not always pretty. I hope I'm prettier now, though. Today, more and more we certainly see religion and true conviction in the belief of God diminishing. I've made some posts to Facebook, and all of a sudden a nest of atheists pop in there and have to get their opinions. Well, who is their God? Is it Mao Zedong? Was it Lenin? Was it with some great scientist who was an atheist? Who's running his life? This is what I believe. And I'm thinking, you trust this man and you can't trust God? Do you realize what that form of atheism has done in the last century? Tens and tens of millions of people were killed in the name of this or that party or concept or idea. We need to be careful and stand by the conviction and the belief of God, because at this very moment in time, as we've heard earlier, nations are descending increasingly into chaos and confusion. Don't get caught up in that vortex of evil. And it is evil. Each man's hand is rising against his neighbor. And it's not just in America, it's around the world. My wife and I saw a movie about India and Pakistan when it split up in 1947. Over 1 million people died in that time period. And there were millions of refugees. And people want to look to this as an example for you and me today? Tragic. So what do we do as men, women, children, no matter the age? Makes no difference. Like I said, 5 to 105. Each one of us has a great responsibility to listen to those in charge and set the right example for other kids. When I was a kid, I had some crazy ideas. I thank God that there were friends who were close enough that would tell me on several different occasions, "Don't do that," or "What are you laughing about? That was bad." And I've seen some bad stuff from the mean streets of New York City. Let us turn to 1 Timothy 6:11. 1 Timothy 6:11. But as for you, O man, flee the breaking of so many commandments, the anger, the poutiness. What do we do? Now listen to this. And let us keep it close to our hearts. And we're continuing in 1 Timothy 6:11. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Too many people this day and age just want to jump up and fight with all of their might and hurt other people. My third point in this message is to point out our great hope in a future. Remember, the best is yet to come. We do have a great hope. Let us comfort each other, show tenderness, mercy, compassion. We, as those called by God, in order to know the joys of life, must be, as we heard earlier, a proper example to those around us. For it says this in Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We must believe and live the words of God. This is a living hope for a dying world, and the world is truly dying. I just read recently, and I mentioned this before, German gunboats are down off Saudi Arabia. The Germans are in Chad, in North Africa, North Central Africa. I've heard that, or just read recently, that the Turks who may want to recreate, as I believe we read in the prophetic times, they want to recreate something like the Ottoman Empire. They were at the top of the heap at one point. And they are trying to ally themselves. They want to become top dog again. This is a dangerous time that we live in. So we, though, must live by the very words of God. Let me read this out of 1 Peter 1:3-4. 1 Peter 1:3-4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to, again, to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In verse 4, to an inheritance that is imperishable and undefiled. Let us insert the lessons of Scripture into our minds, even as we draw closer towards what many are beginning to consider to be the end of days. We don't know the time frame. We may think it's a year, 2 years. We don't know. We must be willing to learn more about the book in your lap, or it's on your cell phone, the Bible. Study it. It's good for reproof and good for correction. And we should learn from those that have set a good example before us. And I know out there, there's many people that have set good examples of faith through difficult, through sad times. And they stick it out. Especially the adults should be that shining example for the youth, for the young people, because there's so much that the young people in schools are having struggles with. Many are struggling with things that we never had to deal with ourselves. Or if we did, it was in a lot smaller capacity. The age of technology is wonderful, but you slip in on the wrong station, the wrong frequency, and it will lead you and me downhill along with the rest of society. So let's follow those examples in the Book of Books and the right example of people around us. Let us bring forth fruit, as it says in John 15:8. John 15:8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. That's what we are. We are disciples of Christ and God the Father. We ought to glorify God when there are good times and when our bodies are racked with fever, pneumonia. It's sometimes hard. We're so focused on getting the next proper breath, but we stay the course. So glorify God when there are good times and troubled times, and we show the proper love one to another. John 13:35 says this, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. I've been to some churches many years ago. You were lucky if anybody ever walked up to you and said hello. When I came in today, I was looking around and hearing all the chit-chat and the talk, and it was wonderful. We just didn't come to sit and get lectured at for an hour. We commiserated. We talked to one another, helped one another. We have listening ears, and I know there's some people that struggle more than others, and we're there for them. We're going to draw this to a conclusion. I should be done before 4 o'clock. Remember that caterpillar? Under stress, it developed into a beautiful butterfly. Consider, too, the cruiser, the Indianapolis, and the trials and adversity befalling her, which was more than it can take, and then it plummeted into the sea in less than 15 minutes after it was torpedoed. People who saw this and lived through this horror, they reached out and they called to God, help me, save me. The book brought tears to my eyes because I could connect with the way they were feeling. Our mettle is being tested in this life. We all have our ups and downs, and too often we hear more of many struggles and tragedies. So we ought to be there for one another. People are watching. I try to be I'm on Facebook, on Bible reading program up there. And I try to be very careful and judicious about the things that I say, because I know it could come back and haunt me. If I realize that a certain news story is bogus and I've accidentally slipped it on there, as soon as I know it's bogus, it's gone. Take it off. We don't have to spread rumor like there's so much stuff there. And it's gotten a bad name, but it's also gotten a good name. Some people are drawn together, and they're being fed properly on some sites. Not all sites. For the most part, people don't gravitate to the good sites. But people do watch us. God knows what and how much each one of us can bear. I say, let us be a light in a Babylon of confusion. And it has this to say, in Matthew 5:13, Matthew 5:13 to verse 16. Again, Matthew 5:13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. In verse 14, you are the light of the world, a city set on a hill. I love this scripture, and it makes me realize every time I think about it, what do people see when I open up my mouth? What do they see when I write something on Facebook? A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand it gives light to all the house. I know we don't use lanterns like that anymore, but the symbolism is still there. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to who? Not to you, but to your Father who is in heaven. Despite adversity, Christ said, I will never leave nor forsake you. Christ was a man of his word. Never leave nor forsake you. Hebrews 13:5-6. Hebrews 13:5-6. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? You know, if somebody pokes at you, if you're kind, if you're gentle, next time you see him, and you're not poking back, you'd be surprised how many people you could win over as friends. Not always. Some people, you may just have to go your separate ways. I have one final scripture from Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 19 to 20. And this is out of the New King James. All the other versions I had were mostly out of the English Standard Version. But this, I liked this one, 15 to 20. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on the earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Christ died. For you, for me, and for other people. Finally, let me say this. We as Christians must be resolved to never, ever give up our faith nor forget our walk with our Savior. The men on the Indianapolis, some of them did not give up, and they survived. Despite trials and sufferings, let us endure to the end and prepare for the upcoming Passover.